following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
The first six kings of empire. Next week, we'll be looking at the seventh and eighth kings of empire. This is an essential understanding we have to have in comprehending end time. I'm going to show you something fascinating tonight. I believe something that just occurred in the 1940s, prophetically referred to in the book of Revelation. There's something we all know that was referred to all through the Bible that occurred in the 1940s. What was that?
The birth of Israel.
But I submit to you there was something that caused the birth of Israel that was also prophesied in the Old Testament. And it is. Beginning in the New Testament alone, Revelation. The thing that caused the birth of Israel. What caused the birth of Israel was a war that was precipitated by a nation that was initiated by a man. His name was Hitler. He was over the 1,000-year reign for what he called it. And what he wanted to see is a millennial reign of the Nazis.
Well, we're going to be looking to see, to make you, I believe that it's very possible that the Nazis were the seventh beast of empire prophesied in the Bible.
But to build the foundation to support that thesis, which is essential to understand how close we are to the end, tonight I want to talk to you about the first six beast empires. Look, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. Over the course of this series, we're going to be digging primarily in Daniel and Revelation. Matthew 24, those are the major chapters we'll be dealing with in end time. Now, the last 2 weeks, I've laid some foundation. Last week, we talked about Daniel's 70th week, and the week before that, we talked about being ready. But now, this week, we're going to begin to launch, and it's a serious foundational truth concerning the end time. So whether you particularly hold to the thesis of a pre-wrath, belief in the rapture or not, regardless of whether you believe that or not, the foundations I'm laying right now are true regardless of what your rapture eschatology is. So if you were looking at me, I want to show you something about the book of Revelation you probably never heard before. It's that Revelation in Revelation is progressive. So if you read the book of Revelation at one point, as you read on the book of Revelation, it will mention the same thing again and again and again, but each time it will be progressive with greater revelation. Let me give you an example of that. Revelation 12, verse 3, this is a mysterious verse. "To there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head." Now look to me. By the time this meeting is over, in the next hour, I believe we'll all be comfortable to know what those 7 heads were. It took me to pay attention. Because he's talking about a great red dragon that has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, this is the 10 horns, I believe, were in addition to the 7 heads. And there were 7 crowns upon his head. Now, when he's speaking here, you've got to understand, this revelation is also often speaking simple. The 7 heads, whatever these heads are, they have crowns on them. The crowns speak in the scripture of rulers, of kings, or it speaks of nations. Okay, you with me? So when we get into the revelation in this scripture, he's talking about a dragon. Now, who is the red dragon? Anybody have any doubt? Look at verse 9. The great red dragon, the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called what? The devil, Satan. So right in the context, we see the great red dragon is Satan. And he's talking about this satanic. This is satanic. Watch this. These are 7 believe the seven heads are nations because they're found on, right? Seven Satan's inspired empire. Because if a beast, a dragon with seven heads, satanically inspired. Remember this other thing with ten horns. Let's look at that. Revelation 13, 1, we see the same mention again. 13, chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having what? Seven heads and ten horns. Now, I submit it's the same beast, only here, rather than a dragon, we see it's a beast out of the sea, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So there's a different revelation here. Before we saw the heads had crowns, right? So we knew that the heads were the kingdoms or nations. Now, the horns have crowns. You see the difference? So we know that the ten horns represent nations as well. But I submit to you, and you'll see this as we look at this progressively, I believe the heads are not just nations, but empires. Whereas the horns are individual nations. But we're going to see, he's speaking about this satanic, seven satanic empires, and then there'll be an empire that will have ten nations. A final eighth empire of ten nations, as we see progressively. Revelation, as I said, tends to be progressive. We see seven empires with a ten leader empire somehow attached. Now, what we're going to develop today is these heads represent Satan's blasphemous empires that over the ages have oppressed or opposed God's people. But tonight we're going to look at the first six. I want to save the seventh, the eighth, for next week. It takes a lot of time to develop what the seventh and eighth is. Very important to the end times. But tonight we're going to look at the first six empires, and it's essential to understand them because the last ten are going to be composed of the components of all the prior seven. The Antichrist mobilized 10 basic confederacy, I believe, will be composed of the prior seven. I do not believe the Antichrist is going to rise out of the United Europe or any kind of European common market. I used to, I no longer believe that. I believe the Antichrist is going to rise out of a mobilized conglomeration of the seven empires that have previously dominated all the way up to number seven, which occurred, I believe, in the last generation, 1640s. Now look at Revelation 17, verse 1. I'm going to take you further on a progression. You've seen these verses maybe many times if you've ever seen Revelation, but I'm going to show you, he's talking about the same thing, but in different angles. It's almost like taking, you know how the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four different snapshots of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to show you four different, but the same thing, we're looking at different snapshots of a beast that has seven hands and ten horns. So in Revelation 17, 1, and they came one of the seven angels, which has the seven vials, and he brought from me, he said to me, come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits on many waters. When those kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth, have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away to the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw, look at this, a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast. Now we see a beast, and we don't know what it looks like, some ugly-looking animal, so colored red, but look. 4 days of blasphemy, you're having what? Seven heads and ten horns. Again, the same thing. He's talking about the same thing here. Before, that was a great, great dragon over the head, seven heads and ten horns. And then it was a beast coming out of the sea that had seven heads and ten horns. Now we see a scarlet-colored beast with the same seven heads and ten horns. And we've also already established that the seven heads had to be seven empires because they had crowns. And the ten horns had to be ten nations because they had crowns. So what we're beginning to see is this thing of seven, and actually let's say eight. Because it's actually eight empires. It's seven empires, and then the eighth is going to be composed. world could get at. You with me? So what we're really looking at is eight empires, blasphemous empires, having instead the name for blasphemy. What does that mean? These are empires, and I believe from the beginning of time, empires, this is speaking from the beginning of the time of Abraham, the Jewish people, they have been dedicated to oppressing and opposing God's people. That still makes perfect sense when we look at this ultimately. Because the birth of these empires was Satan's plan to thwart the fulfillment of the promise given to Adam and Eve in the garden. That a delivered seed would crush the head of the serpent. And so Satan raised up, where's God? This is God raised up a people called the Jews to bring forth the Messiah. Satan, correspondingly, raised up empires to oppress the Jews. And as of today, 1993, seven have occurred. And by the end of tonight, I'm going to show you the scripture and its history all seven. Well, particularly the first six. Like I said, we'll look at number seven next week. Now, it's interesting, since the king of the earth committed fornication with this foolish woman. You know, it's interesting, there's a woman sitting on the beast. This is beast. Now, I wonder if you see the unfolding of the last. First, you have a dragon with a mess that's on. Then you have a beast on the sea that's on the edge of the temple, and they tell us it's a horse. And now you see the beast with the temple, and somebody's riding on it. You see? You see the progressive revelation? Now you see there's someone that these empires, these seven empires, have been bearing. There's been something in the spiritual realm. And Satan's black, but then I've been bearing it, that is the foolish woman. Now, who is she? Well, we're going to be looking at that later. I'm going to have a series. I submit to you, that is, and as it says, Babylon the Great, verse 5. The foolish woman is the false religion of Babylon, the mystery religion. All the occult, all of the witchcraft, all of the false religion, every lying religion is born on the back of the seven empires. The purpose of which we're so oppressed and opposed God's people. We'll look at that in more detail. Tonight, we're looking at seven heads and ten horns. Now let's consider looking at these things. Look at Revelation 17, verse 7. And the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman. No, and of the beast that carried her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that she saw was, and is not. And shall ascend out of the bottom of the pit, and go into perdition. Now, just for your information, he was just now talking about Antichrist. Antichrist will be a person. A beast. Now, this don't get confused, but the Antichrist itself is called a beast. Even though there are seven, actually eight beast empires, seven beast empires, and an empire of ten, Antichrist itself is called the beast. And the Antichrist, I believe, was and is not, that means I believe Antichrist will be a man who was dead and is risen again. I will show you that in very flashy detail. He will have received a wound in his head, and he will have died into the rise of the world of victory, who died and rose again. We'll go into detail about that down the road, but suffice it to go into faith. These names are not written in the book of life. When they behold the beast that rises and is not in your head, but who is the beast that rises and is not in your head? That Antichrist, who was lived before, died, and is now a ruler of the ten nations of Israel. I believe Antichrist will be a man who has lived before and will die. And in fact, he's dead now. That's what he did to the bottom of the pit. He said he ascended to the bottom of the pit, doesn't he? In that verse. He also says that in chapter 11, 7. The beast that ascends out of the bottom of the pit, he's literally a man who's in the bottom of the pit now. But ascend out, Satan is going to ascend. You see, you got to ascend. The whole Antichrist said is the counterfeit of Jesus. everything Satan does is a mimic. He's going to mimic the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all it's out for.
He's not working for Christianity. He's going to try himself.
And here is the mind which has wisdom. Now look at verse 9. This is sneaky. He couldn't even tell you what happened. The seven heads are seven mountains which the woman sits, and there are seven kings. Now underline the word and. So many Bible scholars get confused on this. We've already established that those seven heads were seven kingdoms, heavenly empire, with crown. Amen. So the new person is seven mountains. I committed both. Because he says, and there are seven kings. Do you see that?
Go with me. Do
this if you will. I won't say that. It's important to understand, and. You know what it is? It's more holy revelation. He's now saying the seven mountains. I'm sorry, the seven kings. Don't only represent the seven empires, but all also represent the seven mountain city upon which the woman. And there are seven kings, and they also represent the seven empires. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. So this is very, when was John writing this in 90 AD? By 90 AD, five of those empires had been gone. One empire existed. What empire existed while John was writing this? The Roman Empire. And what is yet to come? But notice what he says about the one yet to come. You must continue a short space. How long was the Nazi reign?
A short space.
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. And that's one of the most crucial verses to understand Antichrist. Of the Bible. The beast that was and is not is of the seven. So I'm going to put this up in the Greek, and here it says of the seven. What it means is, Antichrist will have been before, died, and risen again. I believe he's going to be a leader, possibly, of the previous seven beast empires. Who do you think?
I believe.
And the ten horns which he saw, look at this, are ten kings, which is received no kingdom again, but they receive power of kings.
1 hour with the beast. That's the Antichrist.
Now what he's doing is great detail now. So the ten horns are the ten nations. They're going to be aligned up under Antichrist. And Antichrist will give these nations power. He will, I'm going to show you that he will, it will be a leader that will, I believe, defeat certain Germanic Aryan nations, the Russian Germanic area, which is the ultimate descendant. You see it from the Roman Empire, the entire Roman Empire, how do I know that? Because what was the name of the Russian leader, the Tsars, which is a derivation of the word Caesar? And so the same with the German. What was the name of the German leader? The Kaiser, which is a derivation of Caesar. The old revived German Empire manifests up through the Aryan nations, German and Russia. I believe the DNA could take a full combination to defeat three nations. You see a charismatic figure. Coming up, three nations under his power, you grow, they come into the missile, six of the comes. In the 7 years, Daniel's 70th year, again, 7 years, great tribulation won't come until this week. That's going to be the sign. And I'll be called covering a lot more of that. And there are one of the things, major things I'm interested in teaching the word is to imprint in your mind and the minds of the children, the ones that are listening. Because if you're not listening, when the kids of the little kids, when they're our age, that's when this Antichrist figure may rise. They may rise sooner. But you and I, we may be in our 70s, 60s, 50s, I don't know. But something I'm preaching is going to happen when they're going to see it in the newspaper. And it's going to be the sign of the time. And that's the bottom line of the reason I'm doing this sermon. It's not just to stimulate our intellect, but so that I can give you the specifics. So the thing that happens, you go, whoa, this is it. I remember seeing this in the Word. I better prepare. And unless I be caught unaware of that thing. See, the bottom line, that's really the reason one did it, is to show you, be ready and watch. This is going to be the first Ultima series you've ever heard. Because when you come out of the series, and just know that you've got a war that's not 34. Jesus Christ said, look at the sky. When you see a red line, you know that rain is coming. How do you think you're not deserving the signs of the times? As Paul said, we're not ignorant of the signs of the times of today. But we're not children of darkness, but light for Thessalonians 5. So we know perfectly well that the day of the Lord will come. He says, so we are fully prepared the times of the season. First step up. So the fact that we have revelation about what the signs of the Antichrist begins to come forth. Verse 12. They receive power 1 hour with the beast. Now, of the seven heads or empires, there is one empire, the one that was existed in the year that John wrote this, whose city did indeed sit on seven hills. Anybody know what town that was? Rome. But you know, there's another city that sits on seven hills called Constantinople. And it was a couple of hundred years later that the Roman Empire broke into two. Parts. Byzantine, Eastern, and the Western Roman Empire. And Constantinople also became the capital of the East, and Rome the capital of the West. This is where I think Daniel's vision of the Roman Empire was too late. It's split into two. I want to look carefully and give you these revelations and scriptures again. Verse 11, that the eighth empire is ruled by one of the prior seven heads. Verse 11 says, of the seven, who will apparently come back to life to rule. Let me give you two verses to substantiate that. Revelation 13:3, the fact of that. Revelation 13:3. Says, and I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after me. You know, in Antichrist, I don't know what's going to happen. I've heard stories about there. Some people believe that he's going to be a charismatic leader, and he'll be shot. I pretended he was in that suit. And then he'll rust. I believe, if you study it clearly in Scripture, whoever this guy is will have been there and will rise again. He will be the reappearance of one who had been, who was and is not. Shall be. It's not going to be, I don't believe it's going to be some kind of a, when Antichrist comes on the scene, somebody's going to threaten you, and then 3 days later he'll rise. He will have been, and he's going to come back. Look at 11:7 again. 11:7. When they'll finish their death, the beast that ascends out of the bottom of the pit will make war and overcome it. Again, it's a fact that the beast, the Antichrist, will come out of the pit. I think he's in hell now. And there's going to be a point when this man, Antichrist, will be embodied, I believe, by Lucifer himself. Revelation 12 says, the devil's going to fight with Michael the Archangel. The devil's going to be cast down to earth. That's right at this week. Right at the time of the abomination of desolation. The timing will be just as Antichrist sits in the temple and declares himself to God at the moment Lucifer's thrown out of hell, out of heaven. He lands in Antichrist. And then the whole battle scene shifts from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. The war is in the spirit right now, right? It won't be here. We'll be thrown out of heaven. It says, woe unto those in the heavens of the earth. But the devil comes down with great wrath, knowing he has but a short time. And all seen the turn out of earth, but suddenly the warfare that we see in the spiritual realm will be in the natural realm. That is the great tribulation. That is the great tribulation. The warfare of the spiritual realm suddenly is fighting itself in the natural. That. Great. It's going to be a scary time. But it's the cleansing of the church. It's not going to have cleaned it up that well. It's going to change it. We're going to use some borax on you. Clean those separately stained hands. So at this point in AD 90, folks, back to 1710, five geographic empires were history at that point. One was in existence, 1710, one is, that's the Roman Empire. One is going to become a brief period, and then one empire will have a tendency to lapse. Do you see that? Do you see that? Five empires had been, up to that point, one Rome was ruling them. There'd be another one that would come from peace time, and then there'd be a final one that would have a 10-day coalition. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Now we're going to go to the beast. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Let me just give you a bottom line of what's going on here. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed this incredible dream and he forgot the dream. So he asked the interpreters, you know, the magician, now come on in and tell me what the dream was and the interpretation. And if you tell me what the dream was, I'll know your interpretation is right. And these Egyptian astrologers, these astrologers and magicians said, give me a break. Nobody's asked anybody to interpret the dream and tell the dream. He says, that's not your fault. If you're a true soothsayer, you can tell me the dream and interpretation. He said, nobody's ever asked anybody this. So, Nebuchadnezzar is fine. We're all going to mature y'all. I like that about Nebuchadnezzar. Black and white, you know. Well, now we're going to go kill Daniel. Daniel was on staff back then. In fact, it's only chapter 2, man. He just got on staff. He says, whoa! Wait a minute. There's look at verse 28. There's a God in heaven! Did you give us some time? We weren't such many bastards. Oh, Lord. We need a word. Yeah, I read that. So sure enough, in his dream, Daniel had the dream Nebuchadnezzar had any interpretation. So Daniel comes in. He says, man, hold back. Still, I've got the dream interpretation. So verse 28, there's a God in heaven that we've never seen. They come to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. And he's talking about something that related a lot of that. Yeah, the dream and the vision of that head upon that devil. And he goes on to talk about the dream. It's interesting, in verse 29, the last part, he reveals secrets and makes known to you what shall come to pass. Now that's important to understand. Because what Daniel is going to see in the dream only occurs from the time of Daniel on. Okay, what shall come to pass? And in verse 31, thou, O king, saw, behold, a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, the form was terrible. And the image's head was of fine gold, his breast of silver, his belly of thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. And you saw until a stone was covered on hands and stood upon the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke into pieces. And then the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broke the pieces together, and they came like the chaff of the son of threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream that was called the interpretation. You, O king, are king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Wherever the children of men dwell, in other words, he's female, Nebuchadnezzar was the head of the Babylonian Empire at that time. The beast of the fowls of the heaven, and he's given you your hand. He's made you ruler over them. This is all. You are the head of gold. See that? You are the head of gold. And after you will arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass will bear rule of the earth, and the fourth kingdom will be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron breaks in pieces, it will break in pieces of bruise. The way you saw the feet and toes as part potter's clay and part iron, the kingdom will be divided. But there will be in it of the strength of iron, much as you iron is mixed with clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom was part strong and part broken. Where you saw iron mixed with fiery clay, they will think of themselves as the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom will not be left to other people. He will break the pieces, consume all these kings, and it will stand forever. He's talking about setting up them, and you're right. And you go, what in the world is all this? Well, listen, he's telling Nebuchadnezzar something that he says, okay, you're a king now. Now listen to Nebuchadnezzar. There are going to be, and this is going to be complicated, you can stick with me, there are going to be five more empires until the end. You and then there are four more empires until the stone comes down and sets up eternal kingdom and the millennial reign. So Daniel's saying that what? There's here and then there's four more and then the end. You know, wait a minute. In Revelation, John saw that there were how many? Total. Seven plus the one of ten, right? But you can see, Daniel, he was talking about the one of ten. How many toes are on the feet? 10 toes. He's talking about that. Notice, it's through the reign of the tenfold king, you see, that the great mountain will come down. So obviously, it's the same eighth kingdom, but John's eighth kingdom is Nebuchadnezzar's fifth. And you go, whoa. Now this is it. Remember when I told you before, he said, I'm only thinking about things to come to pass? Here's the secret. There were two kingdoms before Daniel's time that were these two. Egypt and Assyria. So before Daniel's time, Egypt had been a beast, Assyria had been a beast, and then Nebuchadnezzar was the third. But this, you know what's interesting? The seventh is his. The seventh is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Nobody had any idea that seventh would exist. And I submit it never would have existed if the Jews had not rejected the Bible. Because the iron and the lead would have flowed right into the iron and the stone. But there's this gap. Remember last week we talked about the gap? Hello? Y'all listen, the gap, the 70th week gap, and the 6th, 7th week. The same gap exists between the iron legs and the iron and clay toes. There's a gap. But here is the Old Testament, they call the church. And I think it's because the Jews rejected Messiah. That's why the seventh nation, Empire, was never mentioned. It's a mystery. And then there's only a fear for a short time. And ironically enough, the seventh one was the fear one that caused the Israel to become a nation. That was the very one. The seventh was the very one to bring the. What would it take for Satan's world to turn Israel into a nation? One thing. The horror of the Holocaust. It's just the horror of the Holocaust to shame the world, and they just purposely called the United Nations. And one of the first things they did is they made Israel a nation. You know, it felt like Satan went out of the room to get his bathroom. He missed it! And the prophecies were fulfilled exactly as God. God takes whatever Satan does for evil, means it for good, even the horror of Holocaust. Now let me go ahead and tell you what these nations are. The first nation, and we're going to do this later, let's talk about the middle. The first nation is Egypt. I'm going to do that later. The second is Assyria. I'm going to skip that. The third nation, according to John, the first nation, according to Nebuchadnezzar, here on the is the Babylonian Empire. That's the golden head, isn't it? Then he says the second part of it was the breast and arm of silver. Well, that was the Medo-Persian. There was arms. One arm, two arms, Medo-Persian Empire. They came into power in Israel, chapter 5, verse 31, and 2. We'll look at that. The third one, he said, the brass of Delhi, that was the Grecian Empire, headed up by Alexander the Great. The fourth, the Iron Leg, that's the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was eventually split into two, the east and the west. And
final, the ironclad tensos, that speaks to the final temptation, final revival of the Roman Empire that Antichrist will come out of. Are you all with me so far? Who is not with me, Raven? Are you catching me? I'm trying to do this slow. Well, you have to listen to the tape once or twice. I'm trying to lay, I've spent a lot of time thinking, how can I lay this out? This is complex stuff. But it's so important. It's so fine. You see this. It really proves you this Bible is of God. Hey, nobody can figure this stuff out and write this stuff down for God. Now, there were eight, again, I'm going to reiterate this. I'm going to keep saying things over and over. There were eight empires mentioned in Revelation. Remember, seven heads and then ten horns, which represents an eight. Okay, there's only five here. Why is that? You missed the first two before Daniel's time, which were the Egyptians and the Assyrians, because in chapter 229 says, I'm only showing you what shall come to pass.
Understand?
Somebody got that? Okay. Therefore, John's third empire will correlate with Daniel's first. John's third empire will correlate with Daniel's first. Daniel's first is Babylonian. John's first is Egypt, Assyria. It starts like this. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Neo-Persians, the Grecians, the Romans, and the Indians. But that's only seven. They're the middle ones. The hidden ones. Well, I believe that's not determined. And I'll support that thesis next week in more detail. However, the seventh empire is a mystery empire not revealed in the Old Testament. Let me show you the overhead. I have an overhead here. The communion is clear. I want you to turn to Daniel 7. I'll leave that overhead up there while I show these last few things. Daniel 7, I'm going to first this with a few other visions from Daniel. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw no vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven drove upon the great sea. You know, folks, I don't know about you, but you've probably read these scriptures before, and you go, what in the world? But you know what? Tonight, it's going to make sense. Stick with me. The four great beasts came up from the sea. Do you remember in Revelation 13 we saw beasts coming out of the sea? Remember? Right in there, they had seven heads. Okay, we're talking about the same beasts there. These all tie in together once you begin to see it. In fact, interesting enough, right in Revelation 13, he talks about the leopard and the lion and the bear. Right there in Revelation 13. It's in there. The first was like a lion. He had eagle's wings, and I beheld for the wings were plucked. It was lifted up in the earth, and they stand upon the seat of the man. The man called the human. Now let me just go to these. That first beast is a lion, again, represents Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. It's the first. It's the time that Daniel had the dream. In that time, I'm sorry, it's during the time of Belshazzar, but it's during the time of the Babylonian captivity. You understand? So the lion here in Daniel 7:4 correlates to the bull's head in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now it's interesting, he talks about that it's going to, they stand in a heart, man's heart, and a wing will be plucked off. If you read in chapter 4, he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. How many of y'all know that Nebuchadnezzar went insane? And it grew. And like feathers, his head be plucked off, and when he finally repented, his heart was given back to him. You read Daniel chapter 4, I think he's prophesying, he's reflecting, the Lord's reflecting what happened to the king, the insanity and recovery. Then the next verse, and behold, another beast like a bear, it raised itself on one side, and had three ribs in its mouth, instead of rise, the mama's like, okay, who does that relate to? That's the Medo-Persian. See how the bear ties in? Now, it's interesting, the Medo-Persian army, they were ponderous and massive. Let me tell you how the Medo-Persians defeated the nations in their country. They drew massive. There was the one account how the Medo-Persians took 2.5 million men and just threw them in on their enemies. In other
there was wind. It was just massive wind, overwhelmed. And it felt like pictures were there. It was kind of fun. It was just kind of wild. It was tough on the enemy. As opposed to Alexander the Great. Because the next beast, talking of, oh, notice it says three ribs in its mouth. You know, that's funny, because there were three nations that tried to stop the Medo-Persians as they were taking over. They were Libya, Babylon, and Egypt, and all three failed. So that was a prophecy that the three major nations to resist the Medo-Persians would fall. Then, at the death of the house, there was a leopard which had upon the back of its four wings of a fowl, the beast, and also its four heads, its dominion, which gives it. This is incredible to me. I love this prophecy. So the third one here is a leopard. And that corresponds, you see there, with the brass or the glory of Greece, the Grecian Empire. Y'all heard of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was a young man when he began to conquer. And he had one of the most global and quick armies as opposed to the Medo-Persians. I mean, just literally ran across the known world and conquered the Medo-Persians, the Egyptians, and these, in literally a couple of years. In fact, so he was 33 years old when he died of a fever near Babylon. Just 33 years old. It was interesting that he had four generals. And you can chase this out in terms of a history, and it's probably not right here. Did you notice he said, the beast had four heads? There were four generals, when Alexander died at the age of 33, four generals split up the Grecian Empire four ways. And this is classic history. He was quick and agile, and the four generals then took these four areas, Thrace, Macedonia, Syria, and Egypt. Now we'll go a little bit more into that in a few minutes. The fourth one, he says here in verse 7, and then I saw that I did it, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong, and it had great iron teeth. Remember the iron? The iron age? Who is he talking about here? Well, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Rome. A terrible beast that had iron teeth. If you remember, it's Rome. See that to say on there? A dreadful and terrifying beast correlates to the lakes of iron. The Roman Empire. And remember this. He devoured a great piece and stamped the red stool with the seed of it. And look at this. What? And it was diverse from all the other beasts. And it had 10 horns. That's the movie. And so what's all this got to do with the end times? Listen. This beast. Somebody contain your enthusiasm there. This beast had 10 horns. This is tough to stay away from. Y'all get hot? Okay, 10 horns. Now, y'all speak to those people. Just a few more minutes here. But you really want to catch this. It's so fine. It is a foundational thing to end time. Those 10 horns represent the iron legs as well. And as I've said before, it's also divided into two. It's going to be the greatest empire to that point. It'd be dreadful. You know, the Roman Empire was more dreadful and domineering and ruthless than any other empire before it. It was the empire that was existing during the time of Christ. And its influence and character and spirit literally would extend all the way to the end times. You know, even our language, we have what's called a Romance language. You know, the influence of Rome. You gotta understand, Rome adopted and captivated the Grecian Empire. And incorporated all the Grecian philosophies of democracy and the Republic and all of that was birthed in Rome. The very direction all the nations of the world right now, the nations of the Republic and democracy, were birthed between the Grecian and the Roman Empire. But the philosophy of the spirit of Rome is still here today. And then he talks about the final empire, verse 8. I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them a little horn. And this is so powerful a verse. But this verse is can't tell you how great the revelation is that has to do with your life in the future. You can just a little horn before whom three firstborns talked about a roof. And you hold a firstborn with the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. So he's talking about the different empires for both lions, bears, leopards, turtles. And notice the terrible Roman Empire, the terrible empire, which is the Roman Empire, is sort of like the Antichrist Empire came right out of that. You see? Happened. It would have been the Roman Empire that would have drawn on the Antichrist. But the Jews rejected it. And delayed it. But in the Old Testament time, look at the prophet Daniel, it seems the empire that would manifest these characteristics would be the one to whom the little horn would come up. That's Antichrist. And notice, Antichrist is supposed to be going to be 10 nations. They're going to have power 1 hour of each. But here's this is the revelation. Three of the horns are going to be plucked up first. So in other words, that's why I tell you, Antichrist is going to be a man controlled who will first dominate three nations, who will win three nations, who will overcome three nations first. That's how the next thing on the prophetic calendar is not the rapture. It is a man, a charismatic leader of the world, who will pull down and dominate and overcome to his ingenuity, when he does it politically, when he does it militarily, how about he's going to do it politically? And pull up three nations on the roof to come under his domination. And all the world wonders it. And the Jews, look, Dr. Jews are going to be so freaked out, they're going to make covenant with this guy. And I believe that's going to be things that are going to see in the next 3.5 years when it begins to come great in this 10-nation coalition. So again, we see here, he will get the first two of John's empires. Remember that? We'll see that? Because they're empires and empires. And again, he eliminates the center of you. That's the mystery empire. But the fall between the fourth and fifth here. Or between the 6th and 8th in John's Revelation. And again, if the Jews had accepted as Messiah, the 7th never would have been, and the 8th would have thrown out the 6th. Then the iron teeth would have flown right out of the iron lake. The final empire flows right out of the dreadful beast. That's what you see, right out of the dreadful beast. The terrible beast flows these horns. Antichrist Empire flows out of what our Bible scholars today call it the revival of the Roman Empire. Remember, in a lot of ways, the Roman Empire in itself went dormant, never really died. And I believe what you're going to see is the powers that once were predominant in the Roman Empire will be the powers predominant in the time of Daniel's 100th week. This is why I don't see it happen as long. But it's moving in that direction. The dissolution of the USSR is so prophetically important. The rise of Islam, so prophetically important. The world's the economic decline in the United States, so prophetically important. Because it's all shifting into the Middle East. And it will be an act of north and south in the Middle East. All the nations around the world, in fact, not from Ezekiel to him, but from you, from God, who is Antichrist. And Magog, I believe, who is. This coalition will come down to the earth. That's where he's going to be. The Syrian Russian nation come down. And they drew him. It's been weak. Revelation 13, verse 1. We've got to tie it up now. Just a few more verses. I want to just give you a little more foundation on the nation before we end. We're going to look at this verse. Can we just look at this one already? Yeah, we already looked at this. This is 13:1. Okay, we're looking at it one more time. You're going to see something different in it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And remember, we just saw a beast out of the sea, and we defined him. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Now look. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like the feet of a bear, and its mouth was the mouth of a lion. Now, what did we just see there? Lion, bear,
rising out of the sea.
He's describing the same animal. The leather fish represents the Grecian Empire, the great,
with the brass belly of Nebuchadnezzar's image.
The bear represents the Neo-Persian Empire with the silver arm,
and the lion represents the Babylonian Empire with the golden head.
So the beast with seven heads
that represents all the seven Jew-oppressing empires of the ages.
And at the end of verse 2,
the dragon gave him his power and his kingdom and great authority.
What does she understand?
All these empires were empowered by Satan.
They were satanically inspired empires to oppress the Jews. I submit the Egyptian, the rise of the Egyptian Empire during the catastrophization of the Jews, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Grecians, the Romans, the Nazis, and the Antichrist, everyone else was inspired and empowered by Satan. Why? Because their purpose, ultimately, was to defeat and dominate the Jews. Let's just go through those seven and then we'll close. Look at Exodus 1. I'm going to show you scriptures to show you the domination of these nations, these first six. Exodus chapter 1, just to nail it in your notes. Okay. This is the first beast empire. And Israel wasn't even hardly born yet. Remember, they went into Egypt and sojourned there 430 years. This is the time of Moses. They were under the captivity, building the treasure cities for Ramses, get home for Pharaoh. But in verse 8, Exodus 1, and there arose up a new king over Egypt who didn't know Joseph. And look at verse 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. So, just to say enough, there's the record of the first beast empire that oppressed Israel. Look at the second. 2 Kings 17. The second beast empire to oppress Israel were the Assyrians. 2 Kings 17. Empire that raised, rose up. Not to say there were not wars and battles, victories and losses. We're talking about a major empire. 2 Kings 17, verse 6. And the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried, look at this, carried Israel away into Assyria. See that? 2 Kings. He carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala, in the Havre. That when you say carry Israel, I mean, the pointing. Dandy people. This is a captivity. Look at verse 18. Therefore the Lord was in the anger of Israel and removed him out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 20. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he cast them out of his sight. With God's mandate. And then finally, look at verse 23. Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he said to all the servants of promise, so Israel was carried away out of their own land unto Assyria. So this is the second beast empire of the Assyrian captivation. Let's look at the third, 2 Chronicles 36. This is the one you know most about, probably heard about the captivity, the 70-year captivity of Jews. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 5. Jehoiakim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And he bound him and set him and carried him to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar carried all the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple in Babylon. Look at verse 20. And then that as the fruit of the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. You see that? He's literally saying the third beast empire was the empire of the Babylonians after the Jews until the reign of the Persians. Well, that was before. First book of Daniel 5. Let's see how that happened. The first beast empire is the Middle Persian, which would be the second of Daniel's estimation, but the fourth of John. Ezekiel chapter 5. We're going to look at literally what had happened. Verse 30. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. He is 52 years old. Daniel 5, 30, 31 describes the night that the Babylonians were defeated by the Medo-Persians. The Medo-Persians conquered Babylon in 538 B.C. During the reign of the Medo-Persians, if you recall, how many of y'all read the book of Esther? In Esther, a man named Haman arose whose sole purpose was to destroy all the people of the Jewish covenant. So then we see even the Medo-Persians, and some people think the Medo-Persian Empire was a merciful one because it was through the Medo-Persians that Cyrus, the king, in Isaiah 45, his name has been prophesied, by the way, many years before he was born. God said, Cyrus, I've named you. Somebody who said Cyrus once, when he was still on purpose, this is the year before you were born, you named here, Isaiah 45. Many believe that's why Cyrus allowed the Jews to go back to somebody's church, but his name has been already prophesied in Isaiah 45 before he was born. See, Cyrus, at the right point, the least you do is to go back and found it ever and Nehemiah, and bring it back. There wasn't all mercy because in the reign of the Medo-Persians was when Haman rose up under the king Artaxerxes, or called Ahasuerus in Esther. And in the reign, Haman tried to kill it all. So again, you have another Jew-hating, Jew-oppressing empire, the Medo-Persians. And also, interesting enough, the time for the Gentiles started during the Medo-Persian reign. Remember we talked about that last week? The times of the Gentiles will be 490 years from the year that the command will be made to restore the city, which was about Artaxerxes going to Manus in the year 445 B.C. When Nehemiah was released, it would be 483 years until Messiah would come in on Palm Sunday. By the way, the times of the Gentiles are over. And then also, look at Luke 21, Jesus said the holy city will be tried until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. In Romans 11, he speaks about when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, then it will be saved. The times of the Gentiles will be finished at the end of the 7 years. The 70th week. The very end. I mean, today. And people said, the day of Noah, the day Jesus Christ, having already come again, will stand, I believe, in Edom. And lead his people, 144,000 real Jews, to salvation. And they will literally walk. They're going to walk back to Jerusalem. From Edom, with Messiah. Walk! I tell you the scripture. And they're going to walk to the eastern gate again. He's going to walk! He's going to get off his horse. He's going to lead them. And that's what it says. Your full of joy shall become to Zion. That's the whole prophecy. That's what literally happened. They're literally going to follow the Messiah. And the Jews, I was going to go, and Antichrist, by the way, will still be alive. In Jerusalem. In fact, I believe, you know the witnesses who are dead for 3.5 days? On the sea. They suddenly come alive and ascend. You know how I think they come alive? The fire water. The the dead for the 6 weeks of the elevated camera. Because it's all the world. We'll see this come alive. We're looking at the television camera. I'm back. The Antichrist is going to go, my time is short. Yes! He's going to walk into that eastern gate. There is a gate right now in Jerusalem Wall. You can see. There is a prophecy. There is a gate that Messiah will walk through. And I can tell you, the Old Testament prophets, literally, you can see him walking and bringing his things back. We're going to see. Glorious thing. That's the way that he's going to be. When he comes in, Antichrist is going to go out the back door. He's going to be working throughout the nation for Armageddon. He's going to realize he's tried another way. Messiah is setting up the preliminaries of his kingdom. But this is prophecy, I believe it's not, an incredible thing. And I have to be thankful to a number of writers who have helped me. Give me revelation on this. Believe me, I have not dug all this out. But I've been a grateful receiver of this. There's so much light coming down these days about these things. Then, I can't show you a scripture with the Greek in the Empire. I just showed you about the Egyptians, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians, huh? But the breaching at first, you see, that occurred subsequent to the rising of Samuel. Well, that was an Alexander Great conquered the known world. By the way, if you want this for your reference sake, in Daniel 8:21, there's another prophecy of a goat and a lamb. And Alexander represents the goat, the horn, one notable horn. And then it breaks into four horns. Come on, remember how I said that there were four generals came out of Alexander? It took the four notable ones? Four horns. The four horns stood up. Daniel 8:22, four stood up for it. Anyway, we can't even look at that. There's so much. There's a whole other chapter that's in four brothers. We'll maybe look at some other points. So the Grecian Empire was divided between the four generals. Now this is interesting. The leper four heads of Daniel 7:6, the goat four stood up, Daniel 8:22. They became Thrace, Macedonia, Syria, and Egypt. Now listen, it was from the general Seleucus, who was over the Syrian Empire, that Antiochus Epiphanes rose up. Y'all remember that guy? He ascended from the line of General Seleucus out of Syria. He's the guy, Antiochus Epiphanes, that was between the time of the Old Testament and that's 400 years. He's prophesied in detail in Daniel 11. He is prophesied. And Daniel 11 is the most amazing chapter in the Bible. It's called pre-written history. Daniel 11 is pre-written history. It describes hundreds of years of history before Daniel 11. And described Antiochus Epiphanes, who went in to the temple and put a swine on the altar. He was the type of Antichrist, the abomination of Israel. And he heard of the Maccabees, who were his father and son, the Maccabees brothers, who rose up and revolted against the rule of Antiochus. And thus, you know, that was the Maccabees revolt that occurred between the end of Malachi and the time of Christ. Just about 150 years before Christ, the Maccabees revolt. All of this is prophesied, by the way, in Daniel 11. And finally, the sixth empire was the Roman. And at its peak, as I said, it had two divisions, Western world and Eastern Constantinople. This is the empire returned. One, we'll look one last place in closing, back to Revelation 17:10. Remember, this Roman empire, the sixth one, is the one that was referred to, which John says, and there are seven kings. Remember the seven empires. Notice, five are fallen. See that one of five? Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Indo-Persian, Greek. Okay, five are fallen. One is the Roman. At this point, Daniel's writing this in 90 AD. The Jews had rejected the Messiah. The diaspora had occurred. They've been dispersed. And he still had to be set in. Which means, Antichrist can't flow out of the Roman Empire. There's got to be this sixth empire. He says, okay, there's got to be one more empire. And when he comes, he's just going to continue for a short stay. The Jews that was and is not, he's of the age. But he comes from one of the leaders of the city. The Roman Empire was the one that fulfilled the prophecy. And so it's the city. Does this make perfect sense? I don't load it on you an enormous amount of revelation. An enormous amount. So if it makes perfect sense to you, I commend you. Within 1 hour. But I'm giving you some meat here. Let me tell you something. I have wrestled with the book of Daniel for many, many years. And just recently, finally, this revelation has made it clear. I'm telling you, Daniel finally makes sense. It's not a mystery anymore. I had a preacher back in 1972. Jesus people is the truth. You know, look at it. 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago. I remember my first pastor used to say to us, he said, listen, he said, when the end times are near, he says, it's going to read like the front page of Jesus. He says, it's all going to be clearer then. Boy, back then, I just avoided Danny for Revelation. I read about Danny and the lion's den. That's my longer hand. You know, I never thought of Revelation except those verses that they overcame the blood of the lamb. Well, I'm telling you now, first time, it's coming clear. God is turning light on in the body of Christ. Research.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.